And now, time once again for
Skeptic Corner!
Mr. Secular Bible now continues to rant about Exodus 3.
We may ask, why could the Lord not provide his people with jewelry without ordering them to steal from the Egyptian women?
I consider it fair wages. After all, they spent so many years in slavery to him, they deserve some payment. They were doing all this labor for free. All they got for their trouble was whipping. This is no different than all the wealth that we took from the Nazis in World War II. Nobody complained about that. Maybe it's because it's not in the Bible. I consider that wealth a fair war prize.
G.L. Archer, taking the verses seriously, writes in his book, Encyclopedia of Biblical Difficulties, that the Hebrews requested the silver and gold items as gifts, and that the Egyptians did not expect them to be returned. He fails to say why slaves would receive such gifts, even if they asked for them.
Ooh, let's feel sorry for the Egyptians. I bet he'll be singing a different tune when he starts talking about the Nazis. Or the practice of slavery in America. No, it's only acceptable to side with the bad guys if it's about something in the Bible. Only then would the guy actually argue that the people suffering deserve something for their trouble. Only then would he consider it justice. I think Mr. Secular Bible would make a good Egyptian slave master. He'd whip those Israelite slaves like no one else's business. Gee, I'm glad that somebody's standing up for those poor Egyptian pharaohs with their mounds of gold.
He also ignores the verse that says that the items are to be borrowed, not taken as gifts.
And where is that exactly? My RSV translation does not say borrow or steal or gift. It just says, ask them for it. And now, page 11 of my book entitled, Gatsy Smoke.
I tell you, when we go to heaven and you find out, say have many book, we will read together, you and I. I know, read it with hand then. I will see it with eye. I read it to you then.
The sky was clear, and he could see the comets and artificial satellites flitting by. Just then, a low-flying airplane zoomed overhead. Pudgy craned his neck and watched it go.
I wonder if that's a B-3 bomber, Scott muttered.
They were getting near to Patricia's house. There was a strong smell of burnt wood there. Pudgy looked around for the place, but it was too dark. There was a large sign in front of the path leading to the building. Cupcake shined the flashlight and looked sideways to read it because birds see better that way. Scott covered his eyes for a moment because of the brightness. He craned his head around backwards to look at the sign.
Time to stretch my neck.
Show off.
Cupcake muttered.
Ahem! Coming soon, Scott read. Gagame's Top and Bottom Store. A store filled to the top with bottomless supplies. Indeed.
Pudgy wondered why the name Gagame sounded familiar. Cupcake squinted at the sign.
Hey, why is there a swastika in the company logo? That's a Nazi symbol.
The owl cleared his throat.
Ahem! That symbol does not always represent crazy, mean people who do cruel things. For instance, did you know that the American Indians used it to signify cardinal directions? North, south, east, and west? They did. They believed their ancestors all came from one spot and spread apart in different directions to the four corners.
No, I think these guys are using it in the other way. This is an ad for a supermarket, and it says top and bottom.
Hey, wasn't top and bottom the name of that man who sent us that warning note and burned down your house? Said Pudgy.
Well, maybe, but I don't think that Mr. Top and Bottom is an Indian, and neither are these guys. Indians don't burn down people's houses and build shopping centers over them, or mess up people's telephones to scare them. And if they did, they would make the normal, honest ones look bad.
Said Cupcake. She scratched her head.
There's something very weird going on, and I don't understand it.
Just then, some bright floodlights switched on. Pudgy ran and hid behind a clump of bushes. Cupcake took the hint and grabbed Patricia, taking her behind a tree. Scott remained standing there. He was blinded by the brightness, like a deer in someone's car headlights. This concludes page 11 of Gatsby Smoke.
Good job!
If you'd like to get in contact with Actree, you may email him at actree@yahoo.com. That is the letter akktri@yahoo.com.
For more devotionals, please go to www.egroups.com/fuzzylowbarbread.
Thank you for listening to Fuzzy Bread.
Fuzzy Bread!
Fuzzy Bread!
Fuzzy Bread!